I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we have two segments. First portion, we'll be talking with violinist Elaine Fine and pianist John David Moore about a recital they're giving together in about a week of music by 19th, 20th, and 21st century women composers. And in the second half, we'll have live in our studio the small steel drum ensemble from the University of Illinois called IPAN. They're playing at the Independent Media Center in Urbana on Saturday, along with a group called Rumba Nabiso, which we'll also hear about because I believe they share at least one player. So that's coming up at about 12:30. It's live and local. Stick around. Music by Lily Boulanger, who's a French composer who didn't live very long, unfortunately, all of about 18 plus 7, about 25 years old. She was the sister of a woman who got to be more famous, Natalie Boulanger, right?
Nadia.
I knew I wasn't getting that name quite right. In fact, it's right here on this disc. She was a composer as well, but she became much more famous as the teacher of many even better-known composers, Aaron Copland, among many others. Lily Boulanger's music here for violin and piano, a cortege, or usually it's a procession, sometimes thought of as funeral march. That wasn't very processional somehow or another, but it was certainly a nice piece of music. Played here by pianist Emile Naumoff and the violinist Olivier Charlier. And played that music by way of introduction to two performers who are going to be giving a concert of music by 19th, 20th, and 21st century women. Not tomorrow, but the following Saturday, April 10th, at the Tarbell Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston. And they are violinist Elaine Fine and pianist John David Moore. And I thank you both for driving up to be on the show.
We're pleased to be here.
First question I have for you, John David, I know this recital was postponed. You had managed to cut your finger somehow or another. How is it doing?
It is healed. I had one stitch. I made a mistake of cutting glass for framing some pictures and forgot to put a glove on.
So that'll teach you for the next time, won't it?
Yes, it was definitely a learning experience.
Yeah, pianists and violinists don't want to cut their fingers. It makes life to be very difficult.
At least nothing had to be put back together as a result.
One stitch isn't too bad.
No.
I suppose. Where did you get the idea for this particular concert, and have you done one of this kind of theme before?
I think we're starting a kind of annual tradition with Women's History and Awareness Month at Eastern, and we gave a recital of women composers last year
right.
in March, and they've
Is
asked
that what you came
back.
Up to talk about, Elaine? Was it that program or another one?
It was another one.
Because I know you were on here when you also played with John David.
Yeah, we do two concerts a year. One is music written by men. One is music written by women.
But I bet the men part wasn't intentionally men. It's just that most of the composers people have heard of happen to be men.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we found so much really good music that it would be nice to put some of the, you know, to mix it a little bit. But we're hoping to do this kind of program for many years. So we'll save the good stuff for the spring.
Well, how many 19th, 20th, and 21st century women composers are there, particularly the 19th and 20th? I mean, there's plenty making waves in the 21st century, but 19th was a little tougher.
There's more than you would expect. And I think, what is it? Is it the Oxford Dictionary of Women Composers or Harvard? I can't remember.
Actually, I think it's Grove.
Grove Dictionary of Women Composers. Yeah. When did they issue their first edition of it?
Probably about 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah. And it's been updated and enlarged. And so there's a lot of ongoing discoveries going on out there that necessitate expanding that particular edition, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
And our,
the majority of them seem to be women from the 19th and 20th centuries.
And are folks discovering that there seems not to have been really good reason to keep these women in obscurity other than social norms?
Pretty much so.
There are some cases, like in the case of Fanny Mendelssohn, where her family didn't want her to be a professional musician because it was not in their class, it was not appropriate for women to work. So her brother Felix published her music under his name.
Well, he wasn't too keen on her being a composer either.
No, but he still published some of her music, you know. But now her music was then put in the family archive, and now little by little it's coming out. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that this is great piano music.
Yeah.
Every year there are more Fanny Mendelssohn pieces. That we're not doing any on this program, unfortunately, but in
next year.
Mm-hmm.
So who are the 19th century women on your program?
Well, the most exciting one, well, they're all exciting, but Amanda Meyer is...
Who?
Amanda Meyer is John David's fine, so you can talk about her.
Yeah, she was Swedish, right?
Yeah.
And she's sort of been eclipsed by her husband, what's the first
Röntgen.
Name? Röntgen. Julius
yeah.
Röntgen, who is...
Is he the Röntgen Ray guy?
No.
No.
No, no. But
that's
if you
that,
look
yeah.
it up, if you look it up on Wikipedia, you find out about all about X-rays.
Mm-hmm. Well, her husband, he was Dutch and has left, I think, about 18 symphonies, tons of chamber works, and lived, I think, into the late 20s, 1930s. But she was his first wife. She died, I don't know what age.
41.
About 41, and he remarried later. But she was a violinist, and this is interesting. I think that a lot of the women from the 19th century that did compose gained their sort of public appearances through being performers largely, and then sort of were seen as composing on the side. So she had some notoriety as a very good violinist during her lifetime, but the compositions that she left were given less attention.
Did you happen to bring anything of hers along? Has it been recorded?
Actually, it has been recorded.
Yeah, we have the sonata that we're going to play, and I think there's a... What is it? On YouTube, somebody has recorded a performance of it, and then there's a recent CD release of it as well.
So. It's interesting the way we found this piece, because John David was going, he haunts the World Cat, the library catalogs, in search of new and interesting music, or old and interesting music. And he found this recording mentioned in a collection from someone, a small collection, a sort of obscure non-commercial collection. And so we got the music, and the first thing when we got the music, we read through it, and we scrapped what we were going to play before and said, we need to play this piece. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could tell immediately was that she was a violinist because of the violin writing. It was so perfectly comfortable for the violin and appropriate, just a beautiful piece of music. And the music is not available. It was published in the 1890s, and there are four or five copies rattling around in a couple of libraries, two in this country and one in Sweden.
So how'd you get hold of it?
Interlibrary loan. And at this point, we're working with the family, with Amanda Meyer's grandson and a library in Sweden to try and get it put on the Petrucci Library. For the international, the
it's
music
the online database. Music library of stuff that's out of copyright. Mm. You know.
So hopefully it'll be available for everyone. But the very week that we read this, there appeared on YouTube a recording that someone had just made of this piece.
So do we know who's performing here?
In this particular recording, the violinist, this is not the same one that was on YouTube, the violinist is Gregory Maton, and the pianist is Nicole Lee, and Gregory Maton teaches at Valparaiso.
And do we want to hear just the beginning of it?
We sure. could hear, yeah, the beginning. It's, yeah, the beginning is great.
And
the
it's
exposition.
Music by?
By Amanda Meyer. And I'll give you her dates. It's 1853 to 1894.
And this is her sonata
for violin and piano.
Violin and piano, opening movement. Heard on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Music by Amanda Meyer, who was 19th century composer, mid to late 19th century composer. And judging by that short excerpt, seems to be rather unjustly neglected, as many were. And that was her opening movement of her Sonata for Violin and Piano. And you're going to be playing the entire work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the recital. Elaine Fine, violinist, and pianist John David Moore on Saturday, April 10th, 3 o'clock at the Tarbell Arts Center in Charleston. And that's part of a concert of all women composers of 19th, 20th, and 21st century. Let's move on to the 21st century. There are more 21st century women who I have certainly heard of, but it doesn't mean their music gets played a whole lot. Who's going to be represented on your concert from that century?
Me.
You? But you're a 21st century.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
you is that what
20,
I said?
Yeah, you said 21st century.
Well, I meant 20th century.
Oh, 20th
we'll
century.
Get to you.
Oh,
we'll
okay,
you.
Okay, okay. I thought you were skipping
I don't know what
century.
I'm saying half the time. 20th century, yeah.
So 20th century, you know, Lily Boulanger is 20th century, early 20th century. Germaine Taillefer would be our big 19th century, big 20th. Big 20th century
composer. So I've thrown a jinx on you.
Yes.
Now she, if anybody has, well, if anybody's gone to music school, they've heard of this group of six French composers called Les Six, or just the Six. But most people can't name more than two of them. Maybe you can remember Francis Poulenc and Darius Milhaud, and then probably get stuck, as I usually do after that. But Germaine Taillefer was the woman.
Yes. They called her our Marie Lauritsen, because in a group of painters that surrounded Rousseau, Marie Lauritsen was the female painter in the group.
Oh, our.
Our.
Marie. I thought you said R as an initial. R Marie Lauritsen. Why would they give her another name?
No, our. But she was a. She went to. They all went to the Paris Conservatory together. And she was. A terrific composer, had a very sad life. She had lousy marriages. People couldn't deal with the fact that she was really brilliant and highly competent. She didn't get the kind of success that a lot of her contemporaries in Les Six got, because she was a woman, because she was growing. She was living in a time when it was considered, when women were not, it didn't even dawn on people that women could write music just as well as men could write music.
Which makes it all the more ironic. You mentioned earlier that Nadia Boulanger had taught so many famous composers who were all men, but yet they're being taught by this woman who herself didn't get much due as a composer. She also didn't think all that highly of her own work, I don't think.
Well, actually, she started as a serious composer, and her younger sister Lily, she realized how incredibly talented Lily was. And after Lily died, she stopped writing. She had no...
It was an emotional thing.
Interestingly enough, one of the other composers on the concert, Louise Farenc, who is a 19th century composer who was really quite successful, stopped writing music when her daughter died.
Hmm. See, that's the problem. You women are so emotional, and something happens, and you lose your talent. You lose the desire to give the talent out there. What's the problem?
I don't know. I don't know if that's true anymore.
I hope not. Have you had anybody really close die?
No.
Well, don't let it happen, because maybe you'll stop writing. Well, we're going to get to a very famous 21st century woman composer named Elaine Fine in a little bit, but let's hear a little bit of a short work by Germaine Taillefer. I love to say her name, by the way, Germaine Taillefer. And this is Galliard for trumpet and piano. Karen Beccaro is the trumpeter. Michael Miguishin? Do you know how to say his name?
No.
MCGUISHIN is the pianist, heard on Live and Local. piece by Germaine Taillefer, Galliard for trumpet and piano, on Live and Local. And that piece won't be played on the recital, but some other music of hers will be on this recital on April 10th. It's a Saturday in Charleston, featuring violinist Elaine Fine and pianist John David Moore, an all-women's music program, from 19th through the 21st century. And you've got other 20th century composers represented, but we're going to move on to the 21st. And as you pointed out, there's a very famous person who we have in our studio. Well, wait, I should turn your microphone on. There you go. Elaine, some of your music is on the show.
Yeah, the piece that I wrote is a very short piece called Summer Music. So we're beginning with a piece called A Morning in Spring by Boulanger, and then we progress to summer to reflect the seasons that we've had during the last 2 days. And
and another one today.
That's right.
Yeah, which would be really nice. And you brought along you made me a present of this gift of original tunes for the big bassoon, which is to say the contrabassoon, and there's a piece of yours on here, which obviously is not going to be on this recital either.
Right.
But give us an idea of what some of your music sounds like.
I guess it's usually pretty lyrical, and probably the one that would be most interesting to play on there is something called More Greek Myths.
Okay.
And in the middle there's Aphrodite.
Aphrodite is movement 4 out of 5.
Yes, movement 4 out of 5. And it's the idea here that the contrabassoon, the image would be Aphrodite or the birth of Venus coming out of a shell in seafoam in the birth, and Aphrodite is played by the contrabassoon. So the idea
which
is
not
that
the instrument I'd expect.
So it's the idea. It's the sexy voice of the contrabassoon.
All right, then. Susan Nigro is the contrabassoonist. Mark Lindeblad, the pianist. Music by Elaine Fine from More Greek Myths. Does this presume that you have a first set of Greek myths?
Yes, actually, I wrote a set called 4 Greek Myths, which I gave to Sue. And she asked me to write some more Greek myths.
Which
she
did.
So I wrote More Greek Myths.
And there are 5 more.
There are 5 more.
And this is the 4th of those representing Aphrodite on Live and Local. Music by Elaine Fine for contrabassoon and piano, and Susan Nigro, the contrabassoonist, Mark Lindeblad, the pianist, and that was the 4th of 5 Greek myths by Elaine, this one representing Aphrodite, on Live and Local. And Elaine's music will be on the recital that she and pianist John David Moore are playing on Saturday, April 10th in Charleston.
On Classics by Request on Saturday morning at 9, you can hear music that you request. I'm your host, John Frain. Maybe it's for an anniversary, maybe it's a piece you heard during the week, maybe it's a piece you are learning to play. In any case, call 217-265-5084, and I will try to play it on Classics by Request at 90.9 FM.
And coming up shortly on Live and Local, we have the Steel Drum Band called IPAN from the University of Illinois, and they're ready and waiting in our studio to play some tunes live in advance of their performance at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is located in downtown Urbana. They're performing Saturday night. Well, Elaine and John David, I really appreciate your coming up on the show today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful sounding program, and we've heard some samples of some obviously unjustly neglected music. I see 6 composers represented on your poster, but you're doing more than that, or is that about right?
That's it.
Amanda Meyer, we heard music of. Louise Farenc, we're going to hear next, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Germaine Taillefer, Lily Boulanger. Mel does not sound like a woman, but that must be like short for Melanie or something, yeah. Bonis.
French woman. Mm-hmm. Contemporary of Debussy.
Okay, so she's 20th century as well. And then Elaine Fine. I really enjoyed that, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice music. I'd like to hear the rest of the myths, and I guess I will because you were kind enough to bring me this CD. Thank you very much, with Susan Nigro. You want to introduce this music by Louise Farenc?
Louise Farenc was she taught at the Paris Conservatory. She had a very great career as a composer. Her music was published. She married a publisher. She wrote not necessarily French-style music, would you say?
It's more Germanic in its influences. She was accomplished something that few women at that time had, and that was to become a symphonist. And she's left, a couple of overtures and two very Beethoven-esque symphonies.
But those will not be on your program.
No.
We're playing a set of variations for violin and piano. And the piece that we're going to play to end this this segment will be a piece for piano solo.
Well, I like that you brought up some other pieces than what you're playing to give an idea of the range of some of these women's writing. And you brought some beautiful music along. So this is number 18 of a set of etudes, Opus 26 by Louise Farenc. She was born 1804. And the pianist here, Jean-Frédéric Neuberger. And my guests on Live and Local have been violinist Elaine Fine and pianist John David Moore. Their recital together is on Saturday, April 10th, starts at 3 o'clock at the Tarbell Arts Center in Charleston on the University of Illinois campus in the atrium. Admission is free, so you can just show up. And thanks very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure to listen to the music on Live and Local on FM 90.9. IPAN is coming. We heard music by Louise Farenc, an etude for piano solo here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And again, that recital in Charleston on the 10th of April, 3 o'clock with Elaine Fine and John David Moore. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. We also have support from Sunsinger Wine and Spirits, presenting a special artisanal beverage tasting to benefit WINL Radio TV Online, Illinois Public Media, on Thursday, April 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Champaign Country Club. Dozens of craft wines and beers to taste. Tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door. For tickets, call WILL at 217-333-7300. With me right now are a number of members of IPAN, which is the smaller steel drum ensemble from the University of Illinois. They do have a large steel band, but these are the guys that manage themselves and take themselves out on the road and hire themselves out and so on, and they have done so with the Independent Media Center in Urbana for a concert this Saturday at, tell me where it is because I now can't find. Oh, here it is. Starts at 9 o'clock at the Independent Media Center, and you're sharing that with a group called Rumba Nabiso. And I think, Cody, are you involved in that group as well?
Yes, I play in Rumba Nabiso as well. It's an African pop band, plays Soukous music from the Republic of the Congo. There are several members of the band that are from Congo, and then a couple of us who are Just American musicians.
Cody Jensen is in Rumba Nabiso and here with IPAN. And are you kind of the manager of the band at the moment, or how does that work?
For today, I am. For the guy that normally does the booking and organizing couldn't be here today. He has a rehearsal to be at, but he's our bass player, Tim Bird.
And Cody today is playing cello pans, but you usually play other percussion.
Yeah, normally I play congas, break drum, all manners of shaker sound effect type things. But the cello player also couldn't be here for the same rehearsal, so I'm stepping in for him today.
Now, obviously very versatile, because Cody has been on this show twice with two other groups. Bossa Nuevo, with whom you play, and Desafinado also. Mm-hmm. And with us also on drum set is Matt Plescoda, who plays in Desafinado as well. Mm-hmm. And thanks for coming back, Matt. And we have Eric Summers, right?
Yeah.
On double second pans, or seconds pans.
That's right.
Second, what is it? Second pans?
Seconds.
What does that mean?
No idea.
I'll field that one. It basically is a mostly accompaniment instrument for the lead pan. So it's like the secondary voice.
Well, why don't you just call it second?
I guess you could do that. But there are two pans, so double second. And then since there's two of them, I think they just pluralized it to double seconds.
Okay, why not? All right. And then lead pan, which one is Zach?
I'm Zach.
Zach Penkofer?
Penkofer, yeah.
Penkofer. Yeah. And you're also doing, you're playing the break drum. Is that what you brought there?
Yes, yeah. Break drum and some shakers. And some.
But you normally play lead pan as well?
Yeah, I normally play lead pan. Mark and I will be switching off.
Mark Eichenberger is Mark in this case, also playing lead pan. Well, let's just have you guys launch into something, and then we'll talk.
Sounds good.
On Live and Local. What's the tune?
This is called Aquatic Ruin Zone.
Aquatic Ruin Zone?
Ruin Zone, yes.
Do you want to explain that first?
I can explain that. The Tim, the manager of the group, arranged this. It's actually from a video game, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It was an island level of the video game called the Aquatic Ruin Zone.
Okay, so
arranged for steel pan.
Steel pans coming from islands, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, iPan on Live and Local. Thank you. Well, when I told Mike Pritchard, our sound engineer, that you guys were going to be coming in, he said, "Wow, do you know how loud that's going to be?" And he was actually kind of right, because I'm using my headphones as ear protection here. But it was very exciting to watch you guys. It's five members of the group IPAN from the University of Illinois who are going to be playing at the Urbana Independent Media Center on Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, with the group as well, Rumba Nabiso. And tell us the name of that song again. It was a great title.
Aquatic Ruin Zone.
Aquatic Ruin Zone. So you said it comes from an island edition of a particular video game, and I said something about the steel pan drumming originating in islands of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, it originally comes from the island of Trinidad. It, you know, to this day, it sort of gets confused. Some people think it's originally from Jamaica. Some people think it's from Hawaii, but originally from Trinidad. But you know, it's definitely played in Jamaica. It's played all over at this point. It just is kind of the island sound that people are used to hearing.
And do you know the history of it? I remember asking your professor Ricardo Flores once for a steel drum concert.
Yes, I have a general idea. So it originally came from a earlier genre called tambu bamboo, and within those ensembles there people basically would play whatever instruments they could. A lot of times it would be something as simple as like a biscuit tin, and you would just play rhythms on that, and you would have it was a mostly rhythmic ensemble. So what happened was, at one time on a gig or a rehearsal or something, one guy was just really bashing his biscuit tin and ended up putting a bunch of dents in it, and then later discovered that by playing the other side of those dents, they had pitches, and you know, then he made some refinements to those dents and played Mary Had a Little Lamb, and thus the steel pan was born.
But the steel drums that we mostly see actually come from 55-gallon oil drums.
So taking that idea and then using other materials that were at their disposal, the U.S. military was actually dumping a lot of oil barrels into the Caribbean Ocean during World War II. And so they had a bunch of empty 55-gallon oil drums, and they started pounding out the bottom of them. And that's how the modern steel pan came to be.
And to get higher pitches, you cut off more and more of the drum.
Yes. So, well,
or is that not really the reason?
The higher pitches are actually created by just having smaller indentations. On the larger pans here, you know, I would say this is about the size of a textbook or so, and it creates a pretty low pitch. Whereas on the lead pan, you have, you know, all the way up to like half dollar size, which are really high. So depending on the size of the indentation, actually, is how you get the octave differences.
So then why do the higher pitched ones also are the shorter ones?
Basically, the skirt length, as it's called, is adjusted for resonance purposes. On the lead pan, you're not going to get a whole lot of resonance out of those really, really high notes anyway. So they just cut off a bunch of the skirt. And then, you know, when you get down to the bass pans, they go all the way down to the floor. It's the full 55-gallon drum.
So it just gives that more resonance for the lower pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So why carry around a whole 55-gallon drum if you really don't need it?
That's a good question. Normally, actually, we don't. We use an electric bass just for the convenience factor. For a while, we've gone through different periods when we did bring around all, because the bass pans, there's actually six 55-gallon oil drums with three notes on each. Kind of tough to lug around, so... You know, different incarnations of IPAN have gone through phases where they'll use the six bass pans, and then other ones will use the electric bass. Right now, we're using electric bass.
Well, it does make it a lot easier for you to play out places.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We're missing a few players. What, you normally have eight in the group?
I think we're at eight right now. We're today missing another lead player, Matt Jacklin, who's doing his doctorate here. Our regular cello player, Andy Macbeth. And as I've said before, the group leader Tim Berg on electric bass,
guitarist. Now does he also normally play drums as well?
Yeah, he's a percussion major at the U of I, and he's actually a year younger than most of us in the group. We were in it for this group kind of formed for a year with one bass player, and then he left town. So we were looking for a new bass player, preferably electric, so we didn't have to lug around the six bass. And we knew that Tim played guitar, so we asked if he could learn bass, and he was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it
a shot.
So
how did he leap over you guys to get to be the manager of the group? Or is that not necessarily, is that not a coveted position?
It is not necessarily a coveted position. I was leading this group for a couple years prior to this, and then this year, just with other commitments I had, I didn't think I would have time to really do that position justice, so I stepped down. And since Tim will be around next year, and most of us won't, we thought he was the logical choice to continue the tradition.
In other words, it's sort of like hazing.
Yeah.
you haze the new guy by making him the manager.
You could put it that way.
Yeah, okay. Well, your next gig is Saturday. Do you have one coming up soon after that?
Yes, we're also playing
April
25th at the U of I Steel Band Concert at Krannert Center. It's a 7:30 concert, and IPAN will be doing, I think, a 30 to 40 minute opening set, and then the University Steel Band, big band of about 22 people, will be doing a full set after that.
Is everybody in this group, IPAN, are you all percussion majors?
Yes.
And everybody in the large steel band also percussion majors?
In the large steel band, it's not all percussion majors. There's some other music majors that just aren't percussion majors, and then there's some other people also that aren't music majors at all, but just were interested in doing it.
They just like to hit things.
Yep.
Preferably things that you can play tunes with.
Yep.
Speaking of, what would you like to play next?
We're going to play a tune called Little Secrets. This is originally by Andy Norell, who's a very famous pan player in the United States. He was kind of one of the early pioneers in the U.S. Of pan. And this was arranged by the founder of IPAN, Eugene Novotny.
And how long ago was that?
The band was founded in 1993.
So not so long.
Not so long. Just but it has some tradition.
Since I've been here.
Yeah.
I had the impression it was around longer. Well, IPAN here, five members thereof playing on Live and Local. Have at it.
Thank you.
Called IPAN on Live and Local here live in our studio in on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the name of that tune again?
That was Little Secrets by Andy Norell.
And that's one of, and I assume you'll be doing these tunes that you're playing today on Saturday's show?
Definitely we will.
At the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana in the old post office building. It starts at 9 o'clock and you'll be going up till midnight along with the group Rumba Nabiso. Cody Jensen has been sort of the spokesperson here for the group, but as you mentioned at the outset, you're also in that group. How did that group get started? And you used a particular word to describe a name of a type of music that that group does.
The name of the type of music is Soukous music. It's also called African Rumba. But it's a popular music that developed in the Republic of Congo. I think starting in the 80s, and it's gone, you know, through several phases up to the current sound that they have. And the group started, I think back in December or so, there was a guitar player just living in town. He works in Bloomington that was here from the Congo. And he had seen Mondoro, who's another African pop band in town, and was interested in getting a Soukous band started. So he talked to the drummer afterwards, Gordon Kay, and said, "Would you like to be in a Soukous band?" Gordon said, "Sure." So they started getting together and rehearsing, and then they ran into a guy that teaches French here at the university who happens to be fluent in Lingala, which is the language normally sung for this music, and is also an excellent guitar player.
But he's not from Congo.
He's not from the Congo. He's an American. So they had three pieces in place. The bass player and leader of the group, Mike, then, you know, called a few friends who live in around town from the Republic of Congo to be singers. And then finally, Gordon asked me to play keyboards just to mostly cover some of the, like, second guitar lines, but also some brass hits and things.
So you're getting, you, Cody, specifically, getting to get around quite a bit in different kinds of world music ensembles.
Yeah, that's definitely the music that I'm really trying to focus on, and I really enjoy playing it a lot.
And I gather the rest of you to some degree as well, because you don't have to be an IPAN, right?
Right, yeah.
What got you interested in this kind of group, or how does one get into the group?
I think all of us kind of entered at different times. I started playing steel pan in high school because my teacher for percussion at the time that I was taking private lessons with, Stephen Butters, taught a steel band at Elgin Community College. And so I just joined that on a whim and have just been doing it since.
Yep.
And for me, it's been, I joined when I got here starting on my master's degree, and I knew that a lot of college educators now need to be able to teach steel bands because a lot of universities are now having steel bands because it's very popular. And it's an easy way to, you know, promote your percussion studio. It's very visible. And a lot of high schools are starting to have them too. So we need to be able to teach and get this music out to everyone because it's becoming more and more popular in the United States.
And do you specialize on particular drums? Like you guys, Mark and Zach, are playing the lead pan, or do you, as you're doing, Cody, sort of hop around as needed?
When I started, I was kind of moving around and doing a lot of the different pans, but I started to really focus on lead pan, especially for the purposes of this group, to kind of become more solid at just one instrument, but I can play the other ones, and so it's been just kind of well-rounded in that area.
So just as in the rest of the percussion world, you want to be a well-rounded percussionist if you want to make it.
Exactly. Yes.
You better do the same thing as you want to end up being a steel drummer somehow, or at least incorporate steel drumming into your repertoire eventually, and the same thing if you're going to be a set drummer, whether it's jazz. Are you in the jazz program, Matt Plaskota?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know you're into elements of world music as well, mm-hmm. Desafinado and others. Well, I want to go out with one more tune from you guys. Let me take a break first, however, and run down a few other events going on in our area. Well, several other events. These just happen to be what I had quick access to. That's the final performance of a new opera by David Veo called Fertile Ground, being performed jointly by Prairie Fire Theater and Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. It's at Presser Hall tonight at 7:30. It's your last chance to see that. The Docha Chamber Music Festival has its second of three evenings tonight. It starts at 6:30 at Cakes on Walnut in downtown Champaign, and then they wrap up tomorrow night at 4:30 at Jim Gould Restaurant, also in downtown Champaign. This program called Up the Down Staircase, put on by Champaign Park District Youth Theater at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. That's tonight at 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow twice at 2 and 7. The a cappella group Chi-Town presents their annual show called Fresh Brood with themselves and a number of guests tonight at 8 o'clock in Follinger Auditorium on the Quad on the University of Illinois campus. Countertenor Daniel Schutz is giving a recital tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock in Normal at the Broadway Mansion on South Fell Avenue. Singer-songwriter Lynn O'Brien is giving a CD release party at the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign. That's tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And the Ernesto Five Wind Quintet performing at the Cranet Art Museum on the University of Illinois campus at 1 o'clock on Saturday. But for the purpose of this portion of Live and Local, IPAN and Rumba Nabizo performing at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana in the old post office building starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. The members who are with us on the show, Mark Eichenberger on lead pan and actually doing percussion right now. Zach Penkoffer was on percussion, is now going to take over the lead pan role. Eric Summers Urrea, is that how you say your last name? Urrea on double seconds pans. Cody Jensen is on the cello pans and Matt Plaskota on the drum set. What do you want to take us out with?
We have one more tune. I would also, I forgot to mention one other gig coming up before. We're playing at Zorba's Restaurant on Green Street on April 23rd from 9 to midnight.
Well, we'll try to hear about those as we come up on them a little closer and mention them on Live and Local.
Excellent. And the last tune we're going to play is a tune called Pandy McBee. This was the first piece that I ever wrote for steel band, and it was written especially for this ensemble.
Composition by Cody Jensen. It's IPAN on Live and Local. Thanks, guys, for playing the show today.
Thank you. Thank you.